Loom memory fragment. Warp identity. Weft love. 994 years after the Cipher War.
Beep, 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 beep.
Ear-slicing, brain-frying, slags behind the eyes, burning cerebrum jelly, rise screaming to a crescendo of unstoppable insistence, of threat and promise ever pounding, ever digging deeper, and mushrooms floating into pain where thought should have been. A twitch. A moan. A weak flailing of soft brown-colored limbs. Eyes still shut, but slowly. A reddish glow, lightning streaks behind lids now cramped closed. A hand rises, falls, rises again, gropes for a face and slaps clumsily at an ear instead. Hits the shoulder, feels up the neck, back to the ear and tries to cover it. The beeping is smuffled only slightly. The other ear is lying flat on the bed, a filthy mess of tangled sweaty sheets and dried smegma stains. The red glow becomes brighter, sunrise bruise that shoves eyelids wide like prying apart shrieking rusty doors unopened before the world shatter. Vision is still blurry, olfactory senses kicking in. Everything smells like horms and mortal stench. Check that, half mortal. Then the rage comes. Every beep makes the fury bloom, exponentially a mystical rose of wrath, loathing, indignation, until it all big bangs out of raspy, raw vocal cords into a barely comprehensible roar. What the fuck is that fucking noise? Somehow, the hammer-to-skull sound does not decrease, cover up, or blanket out the calm, clipped voice that emits sarcasm right above her. It's an alarm, my lady. I know it's a fucking alarm. Why the frag is it going off? It's not like I have a real job or some dust damn shit. Actually, my lady, I would beg to differ. On top of your duty as the fair's last hope, you also do freelance work, if you recall, as well as charitable peacekeeping missions. You previously set the alarm to alert you when you were needed for an emergency extrication or other troubleshooting endeavor. Alt effing for the stringer shit. Whoever the fuck it is, tell them to get rec-plugged. But I mean it, Blue. Wrecked blood. Up there, sphincter around the corner. She slowly and laboriously rolls over and ignores the heavy heart sigh from her accursed partner, Prague. His screen switches on, the gentle light, blue like his name, washing over her face. Her eyes are closed again. She doesn't want to see her reflection on his surface. Very well, he drawls out, slowly, his voice now becoming a little harder. A little mocking, like she was used to. I'll just tell Lance that you want him to get rect-plugged. What was that quaint expression? Up his sphinct and around. Lance? Her lids burst splits open. She catches her slanted dark eyes, slightly pointed ears, and mess of purple frayed killer wire curls and Blue's monitor before her body sits up. Whip cracks straight. Pain explodes pounds anew in her think tank. A groan rasp coughs out of her lips, followed by... Display message. I thought you wanted him to get... Fuck you, Blue. Display message now. Yes, my lady. And Blue? Yes, my lady? Turn off that fucking alarm before I alt-effing for your ass.
Beep, 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 beep.
A hollow image streams out of Blue's screen, creating a 3D phantom hovering in front of her face. Her throat catches. Even through the grainy quality, she recognizes his dark eyes and spiked bleach platinum white hair, shaved at the sides in contrast with his blue-black-brown skin. His synth sword, Lake, isn't strapped on his back against his rune-emblazoned leather vest as usual, but held in his hand, a long glint of steel flashing to the right of him. He looks freaked, but keeping a lid on it, sweat beading his forehead. Luscious dark lips pressed into a thin line. She catches herself almost trying to touch the hollow image and growls, clenching yearning fingers into a frag-slamming fist. She can tell he's fucked. She can tell because what he says next is unprecedented, and in high she, formal in his desperation. He uses every title she has. I call upon the assistance of the Weaver, the Fair's last hope, the weapon against the Dusk, the ancient and unstoppable loom. Lance was sweating. He was supposedly the greatest swordsman and prime ware wielder that ever lived, but today he was sweating. In the fair, it was difficult to sweat, especially for someone mostly Camion, like himself. He had a very small degree of changing blood, more so than Quen, who could barely get into fair during highly formal diplomatic missions, but not as much as Art, who can wield ancient artifacts with ease. Fair operates under different rules, the sigil code morphing and twisting mortal reality into an immortal miasma of shifting forms and laws that operate under pacts and treaties, the strength of one's will and the skill of one's bard slicing. What his mortal body may be doing where it lies, staked in, would barely register in his malad ava. Only severe psychological reactions could produce the sweat effect, and he supposed that this time around, it would have to be fear. Morg was backing him into a wall. She swung that heavy-ass, shit-eating bastard sword of hers and gasped surprisingly fast arcs that wore down his own attacks, making him fall back into defensive posture after defensive posture, like a fucking stringer on his first day. Her red skin gleamed, as if making its own eerie light, blood bright against the black steel of her jagged plates of armor. She wore no helmet, for what kind of frag-frill wear could possibly contain that writhing, hissing mass of onyx wires, snapping and twisting in the air like a million fat electrical mini-cables had been sliced. Scarlet sparks flared around her face. Completely black eyes stared, dead and determined, into his, never leaving it. Lips full of fangs and a tight grimace of war. She pressed forward again, such a thick blade and hilt, all the same nightshade as her armor. He hadn't been expecting her. The Myrdan had warned Lance's execs that they were expecting a raid, possibly a Verona run, on their territory. The Camions were asked to bring a force to assist the Bards as per treaty regs, and Lance was demanded as leader, because this ambush was predicted to be hardware-heavy. By the Grail was it hardware-heavy. No sooner had his team's stake streamed into the outskirts of the gravel-paved, scraper-hewn mirrored, scream-shrieking femids in black armor spliced through the violet sky and fell upon them. The Camion execs and some Myrdan Bards fell back into a warehouse district. They had a brief respite, enough time to regroup. The Bards sorting and muttering to themselves, calling up program songs to hacks into the Averona bitches while the execs formed a tight phalanx around them. Lance, with his usual arrogance, wandered from the group to make a quick emergency ping on the ring he wore. She said he could call her during a crisis, and this was certainly that kind of time. Of course, that's when Morg, the Averonian warlord, the scourge of Fair and Camelot, came out of nowhere. That battle cry roared charging him before she did. They had been fighting for what seemed like hours now. His pale hair, how he got his nickname, the White Knight, was droop-frayed. The rest of his outfit had the same casual conceit as his attitude. Tight, flexible, comfortable machine silver jeans, and a leather vest with a bright red X on the back like a target. On the front of the vest were flickering hollow images of silver sigils, some in absurd combinations of bard splicer inside jokes, and others of protection and identification if anything happened to him. Anything like what was happening to him now. Morg had noticed the sweat, and a slow, shit-eating smile crept up on those jagged lips, like a rent veil opening up to reveal a pit of jet-black steaks. It made him shiver, getting uncomfortably horny. The heat from her exposed flesh set his horns and chemwires into a frenzy. Her pheromones demanded he drop his sword and thrust at her with something else. He resisted and parried another blade blow. "I won't kill you, you know." The sound of her voice, deep, sultry, raking his balls from the inside out, almost sent him sprawling on his ass, tripping back into the warehouse wall she was pushing him into. Almost. He didn't expect Mord to speak. She seemed the cleaving fuckers in half type, the shut-up-and-fuck-me-stringer shitwad type. "You won't?" he asked, congratulating himself on the mildness and hyperventilation-free texture of his voice. "I won't," she agreed, jabbing at him while he blocked yet again. "As long as you give me what I want."
"I'm hoping it's a quick shag and a slap on the back," he retorted, rapid rasping while their swords locked for a few seconds, muscles and blades quiver straining. "Tough luck, Stringer," she spat, and his face blanched as he felt a shoulder blade scrape wall. "You've got a dick between those legs." "Come on, Morg. Genitalia-based gender and sexual orientation was so over 200 years ago." She snarled, laughed, and his arms began to lower as she pressed forward, inexorable, stubborn. "Let's cut the trash talk and get down to analog basic. Just give me Excalibur, Lance, or I swear on the Great Wallfire, I'll fucking kill you." He wondered if his head would go flying, sword scissored between both their blades. He wondered if his mortal head would just fall off his body in Camelot, getting mind flashes of Quinn's tear-covered cheeks smeared with her blue eyeliner and Art's face contorted with grief and rage. But then, something changed. The air spliced, shifted, burned. Morg kneed him in the junk, backed off, and shifted her stance so that he was still in her periphery, while she eyed something unseen. He crumpled to the ground gratefully, a weak smile on his lips as he cradled his busted balls.
"Well, well, well,"
slurred a voice from the shadows between two warehouses across from Lance.
"What is up with this melodramatic bullshit? Just give me Excalibur, I'll fucking kill you. Come on!"
She begins to step out from the darkness, her movements languid slow, but in seconds her femed form was standing right between them, clinking against Morg's sword with a fat bottle of cream whiskey.
"You know, the one thing I hate more than waking up to find you're only wearing three-day-old gross-ass panties and a red-plugging hangover is curdled cream whiskey."
She takes a hefty swig of said drink.
"Good thing they don't curdle in the fair, but it never tastes the same as offline. But the only thing I hate more than curdled cream whiskey,"
as she leans down into Lance's face, all dark slanted eyes and creamy whiskey breath, "is being dragged into political Stringer fights that don't fucking concern me."
I missed you too, Shal,
he manages weakly.
"Fuck off," she hollers and whirls on Morg. "As for you."
Before Morg can react, she is being dipped over Shal's arm, Shal's lips pressed firmly against hers, her tongue roving and violating the Averonian warlord's mouth like a hidden pillage ops. Morg's sword hangs limply from her hand, the other clawed into Shallot's curly, short, violet hair. Lance gets a good look at Shallot now, her knee-high steel-toed black combat boots, her baggy black jeans cut off the knee with stray strands of denim, slung low, revealing a purple thong. A black, tight-fitting dress shirt, barely closed with big gray safety pins, flashes tantalizing breast and belly mounds of honey-brown skin. No bra. Shallot pulls up from the kiss and takes another swig of whiskey.
"How you doing, babe?"
While Morg tries to remember how to speak, Shallot rounds on Lance yet again.
"What the frag you looking at, Stringer?"
Nothing. Hey, where'd Morg go?" Shallot turns to where Lance is blinking at. No Averonian warlord, only empty air.
"Mission's been jeopardized with my arrival. She spliced out of here. Also, they think that if I'm around, there must be some virus hit, and no fairy or camion in their right-plugged mind wants to mess with that shit. Lucky me, that's my business. Your execs and bars think they've won or looking for you now, corporal shit."
Lance climbs onto his feet and sheaths his sword across his back.
"Hey, Shal, thanks. That was a close one. For a second there, I didn't think you'd make it." "Shut up! Just shut up, you fucker!"
She's turning away from him, face in shadow, fingers gripping the neck of the bottle so hard her brown knuckles almost turn white.
"Don't give me that gratitude shit. Only reason you gave me a call is because I'm a fucking ghost to Camelot. I'm as real as the elf or some other extinct mythical creature. So that way you can save your rep as Lance the High and fucking Mighty. So give your thanks to people you don't use for your oh-so-precious image."
"Shaw, what the fuck? It's not like that. We're not that different, you and I."
"Not that different?" The Weaver's voice scream rises. "Not that
different? Are you fragging me right now? Answer me these questions, Lance. Why'd you come here, to the fair, to Mirrod? Why do you think I came here?
Lance fell silent.
Yeah, Stringer, I thought so. Let's just face it together, shall we? The dusk damned truth. You came here for politics. I came here for you.
Before Lance could even formulate, consider a response, there's a flare of blue, some sparks, and she phases out of the fair, going offline. The bottle she was holding clattering to the ground, whiskey puddling into the street. He stares at where she was, a painful ball of defeat resignation in his stomach. For a nanosecond, his want for Shallot fills his entire mind, and he resolves that next time he would use his token to call for a kiss, for her touch, for her. But then as he goes offline, his eyes cloud over, and he wonders why he feels so sad. He shakes it off as his team members crowd around his chair, asking him how he took on the Scourge of Camelot single-handedly.
It's only when he gets back to his domicile that Lance gets the real welcome. The other execs of the RTC were impressed with his report at the council meeting, and there was much toast drinking to his victory. They needed all the good news they could get, as the war with Averona was taking its toll. But still, something nagged, gnawed at the corner of his mind, something he couldn't quite grasp. When he gets home, all worries are temporarily suspended as Art sweeps him in a hug, almost bending over backwards to lift Lance off his feet, as the knight is considerably taller than the sand-skinned, purple-eyed bearer of Excalibur. Lance doesn't even have time to catch his breath because, as soon as Art puts him down, he is being kissed, Art's soft, honey-brown beard tickling Lance's smooth, dark cheeks.
"Welcome home, lover," Art exclaims when he finally lets Lance breathe. "You have no idea how much I wanted to do this during that boring-ass report-back meeting at Council. Ugh, by the grail, I wish I'd gone with you. They haven't sent both of us out on a mission to Farron like 1,000 cycles or something, it feels like. Just listening to the report got me so fucking hot."
Lance grins and grabs Art's ass, grinding into him, making the bearer moan. Before he could proceed to tear his clothes off, arms encircle Lance's stomach, embracing him from behind. "I missed you too, Quinn," Lance says softly, stroking the red-tinted sorrel arms that held him so close. Quinn ducks under Lance's arm, her tied-up silky chestnut hair brushing his skin as she moves to put a hand each on Art's back and Lance's, gently guiding the two knights into the bedroom. "It's time for welcome home naked cuddles, beloveds." The three begin to strip off their clothes, an old ritual, Lance pulling off Art's shirt, Quinn undoing Lance's trousers, and Art unzipping the back of Quinn's dress. Lance ends up in the middle tonight, lying on his side in the vast, white circle-shaped bed, Art stroking his back, Quinn kissing a line down his throat to his chest, and then further still. When she takes his member in her mouth, Lance's moan starts off low in his throat, but bursts forth in a loud grunt of desire when he feels Art's cock slipperily lubed, pressing up against his sphincter. Art preps him using slick, gloved fingers, easing Lance open as one hand clenches a pillow, and the other snares itself in Quinn's hair. Just as he begins to come into Quinn's mouth, Art's cock head fully pushes itself into Lance's rectum. He is screaming without knowing it, his orgasm extended in long, shuddering waves, as Art skillfully stimulates him with slow rocking thrusts. Lance finally can stand it no longer and grabs Art's hand, pulling it to touch Lance's forehead, the sign between them to stop. Art pauses for Lance to catch his breath and then begins to pull out. Quinn yelps, giggles in surprise as Lance abruptly rolls over her, straddling her wide hips to kiss her spunk-soaked lips. He continues his roll, taking her with him so that she's on her side, the same position he was just in. As they continue to taste each other's mouths, Lance's hand roves over her full breasts and pert nipples, causing her to sigh into his mouth. His fingers lightly dance over her round, broad belly, but he does not go further, knowing Quinn's preference to leave her genitals alone. 200 years ago, those genitals would have sorted her into a squire, and then, inevitably, a knight. But the laws were changed, especially for children with exec aptitude. During the tests, it was all she pronouns and lady-in-waiting proficiency. Still, she had no love for those genitals. Whenever she was in the fair, they never showed on her femid form. Art had grabbed a new sheath for his member, and new gloves for his hands, wet hard ready, opening up Quinn's sphincter, pushing into her. Lance suckles her breasts, continuing to stroke her skin and hair, the two of them teasing her and building her into orgasm. Quinn and Art come together, her soft cries mingling with his hard grunts, neither of them the screamer that Lance is. The three of them doze lightly, spent, but Lance shakes off his stupor first, finally allowing himself to feel doubt and the comfort of his mate's embrace. I lied in the report, he whispers into Quinn's hair. Art opens one eye, looking at Lance from across Quinn's breasts.
About what?
About besting Morg. I don't remember how I did it. One click, she had me against the wall, ready to decapitate me, and then the next, she was gone. I think someone was there, maybe someone that distracted Morg long enough, but that doesn't make any sense. I would remember, wouldn't I?
It's the ring, Quinn says suddenly, though her eyes are still closed. It's the only logical conclusion. You said you used it before Morg showed up. And we already know that every time you use the ring or the ring summons you, you can't remember what happens after. Even when I went with you by accident that one time, I couldn't remember. There must be some kind of advanced sigil code around it, a memory lock that can't be hacked.
So what should I do? Lance asks uncertainly.
Well, you'll have to go back to the fair, I suppose, Art muses. If you want to get to the bottom of this, but how will you keep yourself from forgetting again when you come back?
Quinn taps her lips thoughtfully. See if you can get Tally to figure out a recording where for Lake. Then Lake can upload it to the RTC and we can send it into our tablets to the domicile. Lance looks down at his ring, just a bump on his hand in the darkness, and wonders if that'll be enough to solve this mystery, to give him peace.
As soon as she sees him, she hurl-throws a bar stool at his head. He ducks in time and it hits the ground loudly, but doesn't break. Back for another fucking run, ops? Shallot snarl slurs. Here to brag about how you subdued Morg of the Fair, Mistress of Averona, single-handedly? By the Grail, she's already drunk in its only early cycle. Lance wants to move closer to put his arms around her, but stays where he is. I'm here to apologize, shall I? Fucked up, Stringer shit bad. I just want to talk. He holds his breath while he waits for her response. Finally, she sighs and gestures for him to sit by her. How'd you find me? She grumbles, body hunched over the bar, arms protectively circling her glass of cream whiskey. I asked around. You're not too hard to find, shall? Checked the wild cunt and silcum chips first, but apparently you're not welcome there no more. Shell takes a swig from her glass. The bouncer dumped me, so I started a fight with everyone in the bar. So what? No strippers got hurt. Dust damn fuckwits, whatever. I like Bite Me better. Nice ambience. Lance looks around. There's no one around but an old, orange-skinned bartender who didn't even blink when Shell threw the chair. Shell, look. I'm worried about you, and I know this is partly my fault.
Partly? She snorts. But I want to propose something. Look, you know the High Bard successor, Tally?
Yeah, we had a fuck fling a long while back.
Tally's a real bardass, and Z thinks Z can record you. Think about it, Shal. You can get record messages for me that I can watch and listen to in Camelot. It'll help me remember you. It'll bring you closer to me in Art and Quen. This sounds like something clever Quen thought up.
Shao mumbles. But what's the use, Lance? I'm cursed. This isn't going to change anything. I'll be a stranger that talks to you on your screen, so what? I still can't come to you. You still can't come to the fair more than the RTC will allow. It's all frag fuck. You'll just dump me or use me like all the rest. Lance slams his fist into the bar, startling Shao enough into silence. What the fuck is wrong with you, Shao? You want to put the blame at my feet, but you're not even willing to try to make this work anymore. Well, I want to try. I believe in this, in us. I love... Don't say it! Shao cries out, flailing, spilling some of her drink. Why? Because love scares you? Because real relationships scare you? Because you're afraid that all you actually know is fighting and fucking your way out of things? That you actually don't know how to be in a real relationship where you have to talk and try and just work at it? She raises her fist as if to strike him, and he stares her down, unmoving. Finally, her arm falls to her side. Kiss me, Shallot, he says softly, half plea, half command. She pulls his face to hers, melt relaxing into his arms, whimpering into his mouth as he passionately make-out consumes her. When they part, he whispers three words into her lips, and her body tenses and then fades from his embrace, offline. Lance stands there, shocked, dejected, lost for 10 clicks. Finally, he grabs the last of Shao's drink and chugs, but it fails to fill him up. Back at the tower, Shao is curled up in her gray bed, her cipherspace stake pulled out of her port, receding into the wall, face illuminated by blue's glow. Asshole, she mutters through her tears, but doesn't know if it's herself or him she means. Fucking asshole. End of Loom Memory Fragment. Warp Identity. Weft Love.